Once again this morning, Father, we look at our own lives and we just realize, Lord, that if we had to pay the price, Lord God, we would all be doomed today, Lord God. But you, Lord, you came and you took it upon yourself, Father God, to place yourself on that cross. Father, you just died for our sins. You washed us clean so we can stand up anew, Lord God. Stand up afresh, Father God. We have a life, a free life, an eternal life, Lord God. And thank you, Lord, that you made that way possible through your Son, Jesus Christ. Lord, this morning we look at the cross and we look at an empty cross this morning, Father God. For we know that you are victorious, Lord God. You wear the victor's crown. Yes, Father, and you, Jesus, you sit at the right hand of God, preparing a place for each of us. Father, for we are co-heirs of your kingdom. We are sons in your house. We just thank you, Lord, for that. Thank you, Lord, for your mercy, for your goodness, your kindness, your faithfulness, your love. Thank you, Lord, that you place that foundation in our lives, knowing, Lord, that when we build on it, Father, we build on your word, your solidness, your forgiveness, your righteousness. Just take a moment now and just reflect on the cross. Reflect on that place where you, if you were to visualize and you see this cross before you, what I see is I see an empty cross. I see victory because Christ has risen. There's no shame, no condemnation. For in Christ we are a new creation. We just honor you this morning, Father God. Holy Spirit, I pray that you will open our eyes and our ears and clear our mind of the things that we still want to do today. That we can enter your presence this morning, Father. And Lord, that you can minister to us, each one of us in our personal capacity, Father. That you can come and chisel away on the stone pieces on our heart. For you give a heart of flesh, Lord God. Amen. Right, so good morning and again welcome as we celebrate a special weekend. See, this is a long weekend and we spend it with family and friends but even though it's not the precise day, we still celebrate, and many celebrate around the world, a piece of history of 2,000 years ago that is changing our lives today. For many, it will be a weekend of reflection in their own lives, but for many, it will be a hope in Christ. It will be a promise that He gave us of His power and His resurrection. See, I look at the day, and yesterday we went fishing and I went up the coast and caught a couple of fish and I realized, you know what, this is going to be one of my last moments in Swakop for a while. This is going to be, tomorrow is going to be the last time for the season that I go crayfish diving. And slowly but surely, we go day by day and we start ending off a chapter in our lives in order to start a new chapter. But But you see, we know where we are going, and we still have to ask that question. Many ask that question, is what am I going to do if there was no resurrection and I had to die today? If I'm standing here and I know this is going to be my last day, would I do what I do today? If we go to John 17, verse 1, Jesus prayed for his disciples and he speaks these words because he knows the hour has come. And he says, when Jesus had spoken these words, he lifted up his eyes to heaven and said, Father, the hour has come. Glorify your Son, that the Son may glorify you, since you have given him authority over all flesh to give eternal life to all whom you have given him. And this is eternal, that they know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent. Amazing of the hope that we have. So there's three parts of my message today that I want to convey, in which is, the first one is hope, promise, and the power of his resurrection. And in that, I want to take an illustration of a building as to the destruction of a building, the remains of that building afterwards, and the resurrection of something new. And I can actually just quote this one verse, and it will sum up the whole sermon. But I'm just going to quote it, and I'm going to continue keeping you busy for a couple of more minutes. All right, so that's just amazing how the Word of God is. One sentence, one scripture can change our lives. 2 Corinthians 5, verse 17 says, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has passed away, but behold, the new has come. Such an amazing scripture. And again, if we look at the hope, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The promise, the old has passed away. And his power in us, as behold, the new has come. So here's a question. What does it really take to become a new person in Christ? Just a new person at all. See, Christ gave us the answer in what he did. For one to become new, one must die to oneself, let go of the old, throw it away, and become new. But in our own capacity, we can't do it. We don't have that power, because we rely on the power of Christ, of God, who resurrected his Son. So I want us to turn to Matthew 26. All right, so here comes the first part. And I'm going to read the scripture first, and then we're going to start forming this picture of the destruction, the remains, the resurrection, and we're going to go from the hope, the promise, and the power of that resurrection. So Matthew 26, beautiful piece of scripture, but also such a sad one because it reflects our everyday lives. It says, now the betrayer had given them a sign, saying, the one I will kiss is the man. Seize him. And he came up to Jesus at once and said, greetings, Rabbi. And he kissed him. And Jesus said to him, friend, do what you came to do. Then they came up and laid hands on Jesus and seized him. Okay, so what do I see? because I'm a very graphical person in this sense. So I see the darkness, I see the garden, I see these Roman soldiers coming up. You can hear them. You know, they got that single footstep that you can hear, even though they're many. And then I see this man whispering. You know, that's a man. And then I see the arrogance of going up to Christ, kissing him, betraying him, and then the capture. I see selfishness, pride, ignorance. I see impurity, idolatry, sorcery, strife, jealousy, fits of anger, rivalries, dissensions, divisions, envy, drunkenness. And we go on. Galatians 5. Because the destruction is something that breaks down. And here comes the key. Destruction in our personal lives is caused by sin. There's no escape from it. Because you were born in sin. And the thing is, it doesn't happen overnight. Because we are born, we don't realize it yet, but round about 2, you start to realize, oh, there's something. It's happening. And then it continues and it continues until you get older. And then you realize and you understood what it is that destruction brings in our lives. But you see, Jesus knew that there was a cost involved in this. Matthew 26:39 says, "And going a little farther, he fell on his face and prayed, saying, My Father, if it is possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as you will." So how can we look at destruction? We can look at it in the form of a building. If we take a building that was built in 19, very long time ago before I was born, over time, this building will become old and cracks will start to form. And if we don't give attention to it, if we don't look after it. But it's inevitable that this building, at some stage, is going to collapse. Is going to fall apart because of the... because of us as humans that build it. We might think we are perfect, but we're not. Over time, these things start to fall apart. Now, if we recognize this building, we also see something different in it. Christ comes and he sees potential in an old building. In you and me. We resemble that old building. Christ comes and he sees something brand new. And what does he do? He says, good. We're going to draw up a new plan. Okay? So let's sit. Let's discuss. Let's meet. And then he comes and he draws this fantastic, magnificent new plan for your life. You're not going to like it at first. But you're going to see the end result later, way, way, way forward in your life. And you're going to see it. And you're going to stand there and you're going to be like, wow, be amazed. And that's the hope that we have. For Christ lets the old pass away. And he brings the new. But unlike a building doesn't have a choice, but we do. So we need to make that choice in order to let the destruction take place. Let Christ reveal his new plan and let something start from anew, or let something be built as new. And then it happens. So when we make the choice, Christ comes and he plants these, well, I'm just paraphrasing, but hear carefully what I'm saying. These little bombs are in our lives on the bottom of this building. And if you've seen on YouTube, as many of them, the destruction of buildings, it's just like, doop, 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 doop. And then there's sort of a standstill, and then all of a sudden, and if it's done correctly, it doesn't fall apart, it doesn't fall to the sides. It falls within, right into the middle, which so much resembles our own lives, of sometimes how things get to a point of destruction. It's not people around us that fall apart, it's us. We see things, oh, but he's got this, and they do that, why me? This is not happening to me, this is... I can testify to many of those. Many. But when all is done, an explosion took place, there's the remains. A nice big heap of rubble and damage. And this is a resemblance of the Christ. If we look at destruction, we can see Jesus' capture. And then the next phase that remains is Jesus' body in the tomb. And what is the after effect of this? In Matthew 27, verse 45, it writes, "Now from the sixth hour there was darkness all over the land until the ninth hour. And about the ninth hour, Jesus cried out with a loud voice, saying, 'Eli, Eli, lema sabachthani?' That is, 'My God, why have you forsaken me?'" A little further down in verse 59, he says, "And Joseph took the body and wrapped it in clean linen and laid it in his own new tomb, which he had cut in the rock. And he rolled a great stone to the entrance of the tomb and went away. Mary Magdalene and other Mary were sitting opposite the tomb." I can testify today that I'm a free man. So when I see this and I see the tombstone rolled in front to protect the remains, I see it as a point in my life. About 20 odd years ago, when my father passed away. And I relived it for quite a while, in a sense of my whole world were torn apart. It came tumbling down. I realized that in my own capacity, I will not be able to move forward because of this hurt, this pain that is so deep in me and embedded in me. But that's the beauty of it all. You see, what do we see? We see the remains. We see the tombstone in front. We see no way out. But Christ comes, and he says, "I've got a plan. You leave it up to me. I'm the creator. I'm the architect. I thought of it before you." And when that building comes tumbling in and the destruction took place and we sit in this heap of rubble and we think there's no way out, what does Christ come and do? He sends in the army. He sends in the bulldozers. Come and take the heap away. He sends his blood. Because Christ had to die for this new construction site to be leveled, to be prepared for the new that is to come. See, Christ is in a sense the contractor that came in to remove this rubble. His blood comes through and he just cleans every single thing. Does it happen overnight? Does it happen with one quick movement? No. It doesn't. But again, it's a promise of the old has passed away, that Paul says. And we start with a clean slate. See, we won't be able to build on something on the remains of the previous building. You're not going to be able to do that. So once the remains are removed, we move into the next phase of this building process. And what is that? No. The resurrection. The resurrection. Because that's where the plan starts. Somebody with this idea comes to mind, puts it on paper, and we start erecting. And yes, Carol's absolutely right. We start with the foundations and we build it up all the way to the top. Look at this beautiful piece of scripture in Matthew 28. And as I read it, I want you to live it with me. I want you to see and how it happens. Matthew 28 verse 1 says, "Now after the Sabbath, toward the dawn of the first day of the week, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary went to see the tomb." Okay, you see how we revisit all the remains? "And behold, there was a great earthquake, for an angel of the Lord descended from heaven and came and rolled back the stone and sat on it." Amazing. Think of a construction site. Do you think it's silent? Happens in the middle of the night. Nobody can hear it. No. Broad daylight. Everything's out in the open. We clear the site. Machines are moving. "His appearing was like lightning, and his clothing white as snow. And for fear of him, the guards trembled and became like dead men. But the angel said to the woman, 'Do not be afraid, for I know that you seek Jesus, who was crucified. He is not here, for he has risen, as he said. Come, see the place where he lay. Then go quickly and tell his disciples that he has risen from the dead. And behold, he is going before you to Galilee. There you will see him. See, I have told you.' So they departed quickly from the tomb with fear and great joy and ran to tell his people." Just look at verse 8 quickly. It says, they ran from the tomb with great fear and great joy. Think of the first time that you gave your life to Christ. There was a massive amount of fear in your life of what's next. I've done it now. I've given my life to Christ. What do I do now? But there was also that unquenchable joy. I've done it. I've got a Father. I've got a Savior. I've got somebody that freed me from the shackles of life. "And behold, Jesus met them and said greetings. And they came up and took hold of his feet and worshipped him. Then Jesus said to them, 'Do not be afraid. Go and tell my brothers to go to Galilee, and there they will see me.'" Amazingly, that they had to meet Jesus in order to a small part of the plan being revealed again. Because if they knew that beforehand, if they knew beforehand that they were going to meet Jesus, do you think they would be waiting for him? No. It'll be just a normal day, continuing. Oh, Christ will be there. But here's a new revelation, something that's brand new. The resurrection of Christ stands up, and these women are like, it shook their lives and it changed it forever. See, after the demolition and the cleanup, the real work starts. To execute the plan from the Creator, as we follow the old, if we are a new creation in Christ, we've accepted the plan for our lives, we go and we say, okay, cool, the old has passed away, now the new has come. See, we choose Christ in our lives because of His promise of eternal life. But not just that, we choose Him because He's the way, the truth, and the life. He has a plan for our lives. He sees that potential. But He can't reveal it without our special meetings, day in and day out with Him. You see, if you go to an architect and you tell him, okay, this is my plan, you turn around, you walk away. He draws up the plan and he starts building. You get there a year or two later. You realize, but this is not what I had in mind. Who is at fault? The architect or you? See, you are at fault. I'm at fault. Because I didn't spend my time with the architect to find out what exactly has he got planned. See, when I think of resurrection and I think of how God resurrected Christ, I see the resurrection of the body of Christ, the church, the reviving of that church. Of our church. I see the future hope of a purposeful life. I see God's inheritance as a promise through His Son, Jesus Christ. I see power in Christ to be able to live free. And I see an eternal life that can only come through Jesus Christ. And something that comes to mind when we look at this architectural process of rebuilding, of revamping something, we can have a look at the Twin Towers. In 1970, they finished building, and this massive big two towers were up. And John, if we could just go try the next slide. Yes, there we go. Thanks, buddy. Right, so 1970, we see the two buildings. And then there was a course of events and destruction took place and remains were taken away. And they started something new. And look, this is what we have in 2015. This is what we have today. Something brand new. Something totally different to what it was. And that's the power of resurrection. That's the hope that we have. And that's a promise that Christ gives us. When He starts something, He makes it anew. He makes it totally different. And He makes it not the same as the previous one, but He makes it better. See, I told you I was going to keep you here for a long time today. Because this is where the message only gets better and starts. Ephesians 1 verse 19. It says, and what is the immeasurable greatness of His power toward us, who believe according to the working of His great might that He worked in Christ when He raised Him from the dead and seated Him at His right hand in the heavenly places. Christ wasn't just resurrected and placed him back on earth like a Lazarus to continue his mission. No. He was resurrected to be, in verse 21, says that whole thing, far above all rule, all authority and power and dominion, and above every name that is named, not only in this age, but also the one to come. When Christ comes to renew and restore, there's going to be destruction. We have to break down of the old ways. There's going to be remains. We will have to deal with that. But there's going to be a new resurrection of something magnificent being done in your lives. See, the road we take that is a road that Jesus already made for us. He said that He is a way, the truth, and the life, meaning that He is a way and He has already made a way for us. We don't have to reinvent the wheel. We don't have to, after we become Christians or become reborn in Christ, take our own pangas and then go into the bush and now we dig our own way through what we do. It's like trying to reinvent the wheel. Christ has made the way for us. It's like going to the architect and rebuilding your own plan. Why in the first case did you ever go to him to get him to draw the plans up for your life? Allow him to show you the magnificence of his power through you and in you. Christ died for you and me so that we can be washed clean from our sins and be given a new garment and be sons in the Father's house. We don't deserve it, but this gift is given to us free. For when we come to the doorstep of the Father's house, there is no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. Romans 8:1. Romans 10:11 says, everyone who believes in Him will not be put to shame. Romans 10:13, for everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. The cross today is a message of hope in Christ, a promise that the old will pass away and the power of Christ to resurrect a new person for the glory of God the Father, Christ the Son, and the Holy Spirit. It starts with a choice that you and me are making today. When Christ was in the garden, He asked the Lord to, if it is your will, let this cup pass me. But He knew that His Father's will was to save us all. That love, that deep love. And Christ had to stand up, had to go through the whole process. He had to carry His own cross and He had to be nailed to it so that you and me today can have a free life without bondage, without any shackles. Walking out there. But not just a life of walking out there, but a life as sons and daughters in the house of God, in the kingdom of God. And I want to finish up by saying this to you, that about 5 or 6 years ago, I had the luxuries of the world. We had the finances. We had everything. And something stirred inside me saying that, are you happy with this? Then we moved and we decided, we had an opportunity and we moved to Namibia to start something new. But it was all part of God's plan. Because when He met me here, He met me to destruct the old me, to work through the remains, to resurrect a new person that loves Him, that honors Him, that glorifies Him in everything. That Christ took me from a world and placed me into His kingdom as a son. When we look at the cross today, we look at an empty cross because Christ has already risen. He's preparing a place for us when He sits and as He's sitting at the right hand of God. Think of the Creator. Think of the plan He has for your life and invest in that plan. Because without it, we're going to remain the old building we are and continue to be broken down piece by piece, slowly but surely. But here's the hope and the promise and the power of that resurrection. If anyone is in Christ, He is a new creation, and the old has passed away, and behold, the new has come. I want us to stand up and just close our eyes. I really believe there's some of you that's here this morning that really feels that, you know, God doesn't have a plan for my life. I also thought that in the beginning, and I realized, but that's a total total illusion, because God wants to transform, wants to renew. But if you are here this morning and you are in that place where you feel that the plan for your own life is not working out, and you need to come to the Creator for this new plan. See, God gives us the hope and the promise of a new life, but it's a choice that we have to make. So if you haven't given your life to Christ yet, and you want to do it this morning, there's an opportunity. Christ walked with His own cross publicly, just to be humiliated, so that we today can be free and we can have a new life. So Father, this morning I pray that You empower us as born again in You, that we will be the Jesus for the people around us. Be in us and through us and around us, Lord God, that people will not see us, but they will see You, Father, and be drawn to that light. Father, let us not be ashamed of man. Let us not be shy, Father, to go out, but let us be bold, Father God, as Peter went out and said, "Silver and gold I do not have, but in the name of Jesus, stand up and walk." So, Father, we just thank You that there's no condemnation for us in You. Father, if we believe in You, we will not be put to shame. And Father, if we call on Your name, we will be saved. Thank You, Father God, for this glorious day, and that we can give our lives to You, and that we do not have to worry about the path, but Father, we just have to follow in Your footsteps. Father, we just come and repent of the times that we walked in ahead and walked in front, and You had to follow us just to make sure we stay on the track and redirect us. But Lord God, this morning we stand still, we take a step back, and we allow You to show us the path and the way forward in our own lives. You are the one that is, You are the one that was, and You are the one that is to come. We glorify You, Lord God, for You are mighty. You are a Creator. You are our everlasting God. You are our Father. Lord, thank You that we can be sons and daughters in Your house today. Amen.